Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's your sports bros on a Monday. It's Rob and Souk. What's going on?
We sports hard today.
Yeah, we have. And there's more sports to come.
Yes. We're not done sports, and you got to, at least another hour of hardcore sports.
That's right. Our next segment will be a segment we will call Other Sports Things, because normally we're just all football on Mondays, but today we've got a few other sports things, and we'll lump them all together in our next segment. And
hence
then,
the clever name, Other Sports Things.
Then we'll be talking about Willie Taggart, who got fired yesterday.
And I love how we all can make fun of Willie Taggart, but in the end, isn't he laughing at us? He's getting $17 million to not work anymore.
Yeah, 17 more million.
Yes, you can make fun of him all you want and call him a loser. He doesn't care. He's going home with $17 million.
And if we have time, which we probably won't, we will try to dive into some NFL Week 10. Coming up tonight in the club, we have Kids Bop Karen.
Ooh.
That's fun audio to play for you.
Oh, Karen.
If you haven't seen her.
She seems like a real lovely woman.
To go along with Barbecue Becky and who's the other one? Permit Patty.
Yeah, she was the one that was that in San Francisco. The little gals were trying to sell some bottled water.
Don't we all know this woman?
Yeah, we all know.
This miserable, miserable woman.
Yeah, that has nothing better to do than...
Doesn't sound miserable. I don't know what you're talking about.
Man.
Yeah, she's a real peach.
And hey, I'd like to talk about the show Watchmen. I started watching it on HBO.
It's a... it gets you right from the get-go.
No question it does.
It's not subtle.
Is that based on the comic book?
It is. Yeah. Yes.
Just like they did the movie and...
I never saw the movie, but I heard it was terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought the movie was pretty good. I don't know if it was necessarily groundbreaking or whatever, but I thought the movie was pretty good.
Well, who's the gal, King, Regina King?
Yes.
She's fantastic.
She plays one of the Watchmen. She plays one of the vigilantes.
She's just fantastic. But I have so much questions about Watchmen. Poor, and Watchmen is good.
Poor Don Johnson.
Yeah. Well, don't say that because then that's a spoiler. Yeah. But... they do pull a Game of Thrones right out of the gate.
Yeah, I was ready for some more Don Johnson.
Also, I saw a trailer. I think this is coming out this week. The His Dark Materials series on HBO is launching. That's from three books that are from like the 90s.
The same guy that did The Watchmen?
I don't know if it's the same guy, but I just saw it, and it's kind of a fantasy-based series. And I read all the books, and they were really good, so excited to watch them.
His what?
His Dark Materials.
Okay.
It was a book series.
I'm almost through.
I thought when you were saying his, I thought you meant the guy that, is it Kirkman or whatever that did The Watchmen?
No. That was just the name of the series.
Oh, okay. I was thrown off there by his.
I've also got hot Black Mirror takes.
Okay.
I'm almost through season 4 now. Black Mirror.
I fell off of this last season of Black Mirror.
I can see why.
Yeah.
So all that's coming up, but right now we got to get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Being great is really expensive.
Doodly squat diddly.
Bet the Jetta and the Bug on both of them, you know?
Hello.
Number five. Number 5.
Where to go?
Yeah, where to go? If you missed it Sunday, Florida State fired coach Willie Taggart after a 4-5 start They lost over the weekend in Miami.
Yeah, the boosters got together privately and they raised over $20 million. Because the whole thing was, is Florida State's kind of cheap. And there was a belief that they just couldn't pay the $17 million buyout. Well, the boosters were like, yeah, no. And they said that they didn't want to wait around because they didn't see any benefit waiting to the end of the year to fire him. They had already made up their mind that he was not the guy.
Yeah. So $20 million, that's a lot for a buyout. One coach already expressing interest, the great Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, which I'm not sure that Florida State has the same level of interest, but
what an exciting time. Although he did say that he would not take it. So he throws his name out there like, yeah, And then he's like, no. Lane Kiffin's great.
Why would I want that Florida State job?
However, there is one note. The Yahoo Sports writer.
Number four.
I think it's, is that Thamel or?
I think it was Pete Thamel.
Pete Thamel.
Yeah. He has Mario Cristobal number two on his list of Florida State targets. James Franklin, number one.
Now, I know he's from, you know, he's got his roots there, and maybe that gets him to come back, but I honestly don't think Florida State right now is a better job than what he has going at Oregon. And the way he's got it rolling there, I don't know why he would take it unless it just comes down to a money or a home thing.
Another quarterback got hurt on Sunday, this time Colts starter Jacoby Brissett. He had an MRI on a knee injury today, showed an MCL sprain, which puts him week to week. They are not ruling out him playing against Miami this week. For you fantasy blokes, Jets running back Le'Veon Bell hurt his knee on Sunday, but he didn't tell the team until this morning. He is having an MRI. Results are unknown.
So that will mean he'll be out for like 9 years because it's the Jets.
Right. Raiders play Thursday. They're playing the Chargers. Left tackle Trent Brown of the Raiders has a chance to play despite suffering a knee injury on Sunday. Also, Eagles receiver DeSean Jackson out 6 weeks. He's going to have surgery on a core muscle.
Yeah, they were trying to just rehab it and get it back, and they said it's just not responding, and so they're going to have to go the surgery road.
Monday Night Football pits the Cowboys and Giants in New York. Dallas has won 7 straight in the division. The teams have already met once this season, Dallas winning handily 35-17 when New York had Eli Manning.
Yeah, we've now got the Daniel Jones. Come on! Go Giants. Plus, I have the Giants, plus 6.5.
Dak Prescott is money in this matchup. He's won 3 straight. He's gone 68 for 101 for over 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns and no picks in the last 3. So that's really all I have there.
Jason Witten returns to Monday Night Football, if that makes any difference.
Oh, yeah. I was like, for a second, I'm like, oh, no, broadcasting. Oh, wait.
No, he's playing.
He's the tight end.
Don't worry, they're just as bad even without Jason Witten because Booger McFarland is terrible.
Yeah. Nobody likes poor Booger.
No. Well,
poor Booger.
They cannot find a good Monday night crew. Come on.
Yeah, they can. They're just going on the cheap.
We don't have any good Monday night games, so who cares?
Number two.
Another late kick for the Ducks. 7:30 start time announced for the Arizona game at Autzen November 16th. That'll be on ESPN. A lot of fans are pissed about that.
Well, but this is what happens when you're good, right? If you were bad, you could be on the Pac-12 in the 1 o'clock slot, but when you're a good team, you know, you're going to end up playing these night games.
Isn't this what Chris Peterson continually bitched about when they were on top of the conference?
They were on top of the conference. When you're good, you're going to, more often than not, if you're really good, you end up in the primetime slot. But if you're not playing a marquee game like this week and you're a good team, they're going to put you. Believe it or not, that evening game gets better ratings than any of the others outside of the primetime slot. And so when you're good, you're going to get a lot of these games.
Well, it's the week of the 1-2 Alabama-LSU matchup, and the Tigers have booted their sacks leader, Michael Divinity, off of their team. They cite personal reasons.
Now, they said that they're not open, or they're open to the idea that he may come back. So they're not saying what it is. So this may just be, it's not like he's suspended or whatever. He's just taking a leave from the team.
He's a senior linebacker. He's a 2-year starter, and he's one of their defensive leaders. Alabama has opened as a 6-point favorite over LSU. That game is in Tuscaloosa.
Now, Tua is a game-time decision. Everyone expects him to play, but he is not going to be 100% playing on the surgically repaired ankle.
And number one is your Portland Trailblazers are back in action tonight. They are visiting the Warriors, the champion. Oh, wait, nope, they didn't win it. The runner-up Warriors.
There you go.
The Blazers are 13-point favorites, shockingly, because Golden State is 1-5. They lost 3 Hall of Famers in the span of 8 games, dating back to the playoffs. Kevin Durant's Achilles, Game 5 of the Finals. Klay Thompson, ACL, Game 6 of the Finals. And then Steph Curry broke his hand last Wednesday. And then the Warriors announced today that D'Angelo Russell will not play. He, Kevon Looney, and Draymond Green are all out.
Are they the worst team in the NBA?
Well, they are when this is the lineup they're running out there.
I saw earlier, I don't remember who they were playing, whoever they played.
Charlotte.
They played Charlotte. The Chase Center, they had seats that were two or three rows from the floor. Full food, full alcohol, full beverage. I think ticket price on them was $1,600.
Jesus.
And they were selling out front. You could get them secondary market between $200 and $400, depending on how many seats you wanted to buy.
Mm.
That's how bad it is now at Golden State.
I still feel like that's a lot.
Is it?
Yeah. They're
you
terrible.
See the product they're putting on the floor?
You could buy a single seat, all the food,
$400?
All the alcohol and beverages you want, your two to three rows from the floor for
a
single for $250?
I think I'm staying home. I mean, name their lineup.
It's bad. But still, if you've never had a chance to sit that close and you want to see an NBA game, I give you the Chase Center.
Portland is expected to have both Rodney Hood. They say Rodney Hood's available. He hurt his knee against Philly. They say he's available, which means maybe this is a game where while he is available, they probably won't need him. So we'll see if he plays. Hassan Whiteside is expected to play. And over the weekend, the Blazers announced that Zach Collins will have surgery on his shoulder and there is no timetable for his return. The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. Enter to win an Oregon-branded Yeti cooler anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Other sports things next on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
One play into Monday Night Football, Dak Prescott almost threw a pick six.
Yeah, and by the way, let me
just... So the Giants are down at the Dallas 3.
He did throw a pick, just
not a pick six.
He didn't quite get it all the way into the end zone.
Well, he threw it right in the middle of a rugby scrum, so the guy didn't have a chance to break away. But I'm going to go on record and say right now, the Giants are wearing the throwback, the Lawrence Taylor one, the all-whites. God, those look good. Was like the NFL uniform perfected in like 1988? Because anytime they wear the throwbacks, the Niners, the Eagles, the Giants, dude, they look amazing.
I think you're just being nostalgic.
Am I?
Yes.
Look at that.
You have an affinity for that era.
Tell me the Mark Bravaros there don't look amazing.
No, they're nice.
I do think you're being nostalgic. I think we all do this because it's different. You're used to seeing the same uniform all the time, and it's like, oh, that's different. And then you see it's a throwback, and you're like, oh, cool, it's a nice uniform.
Man. I look at like the Buccaneers have and the Panthers and the Jags and like the Eagles new ones. And they can't hold a candle to the glory day throwbacks.
Those are not the ones you mentioned there are not great.
That's
they
also
can't
just
all
like
be
an
great
opinion, man.
But
that's well played.
You know, the Cowboys look good. The Raiders,
well,
classic
again, because they don't change.
Yeah.
So I love what the Giants are doing right here.
All right. Well, anyway, this is a segment for the archives that we will title Other Sports Things, and then we'll get back to football. In our next segment, we'll talk about Willie Taggart being fired already by Florida State. And if Mario Cristobal really is a guy that they would covet in Tallahassee.
Can you imagine Duck fan crying in the Cheerios if they lost Taggart and then you lose his replacement, which... Thank God that Taggart left in the first place, but you lose his replacement that you like to the same damn school?
That'd be bad. So I was looking at the Warriors. Okay, so here's who they're going to run out there tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Eric, is it Pascal?
I believe it is Pascal.
Okay. He's the kid out of Villanova.
So he was there. He's the second round. He was their first second round choice.
Yeah.
And he was the sixth man. He was their sixth man coming off the bench.
Yes.
Or their first guy coming off the bench. That's how bad this roster was, and now, of course, he's having to start.
So he slides in. You still have Cauley Stein.
Yeah.
I think he's in there. Glenn Robinson, Jordan Poole.
Now, the old Glenn Robinson?
Glenn Robinson III.
Oh. I was kind of hoping we'd get, you know, old, like, 50-year-old Glenn Robinson out there wearing the Nautica high top shooting the three.
And Green's out. Curry, of course, is hurt, and D'Angelo Russell, they said, is now out. So that, and then they have, like, I don't know who else, like Marquise Chris.
Jordan Poole is there?
Yeah, I mentioned him.
He just said that.
Oh, did you say that? Sorry.
Yeah. And then Yeah, I don't know who else are going to run out
Looney
there.
Looney is also out, if you mentioned that. And then...
Well, let's look at their last...
Apparently, the Pascal guy's been playing well in the last two games.
Yeah. I mean, he's like their main guy. He's their feature attraction.
I haven't heard of, like, Damian Lee. Who the hell's that?
Dude.
I haven't heard of anybody on this team for the most part.
They're 1-5. Like, would you take the Blazers minus 13 tonight?
Ooh. Knowing the Blazers, no.
Look, I'll tell you what. If you
Hood and Whiteside are back.
I wouldn't bet this game, but if you told me I had to, like you gave me $50, I would lay the points with the Blazers. Dude, the Warriors have been getting housed.
And then they have some guy named Bowman filling in for Russell.
I don't know who the hell that is.
Their point guard.
Oh, so I looked it up there. I was looking at their roster.
Kai Bowman.
He doesn't even have a photo.
Who?
Kai Bowman.
Yeah, like, he does. I see it right here.
I'm looking here. I looked up Warriors starting lineup, and on Google, it just scrolls across, and it gives you all the players. When you get to Kai Bowman, it just gives you that anonymous, like, Google,
yeah,
like the outline.
So he wasn't drafted? He's a rookie. I don't think he was drafted. Well, and they're running his ass out there.
I just know it's not good,
man,
that when you Google search the lineup and you're the one guy that doesn't have a photo.
Has there ever been a bigger fall from grace, like a faster fall from grace? Not that they're completely cooked because, you know, injuries. But
they are this year.
Yeah, for sure. And they're tanking, which is BS.
No,
because
they said they're not tanking. What are you talking about?
Whatever. Look at it. We're six games in. Look what they're running out there.
Have you seen the team?
And what's the matter with Green? So all of a sudden, Curry goes down, and then Green's like mysteriously hurt.
He has a torn ligament in his finger.
He does?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was like, back spasms.
My bunion. Now, I will tell you, though, that if you're a Golden State fan, if you're just an average schnook down there, you haven't been able to see a game there in 5-6 years. This is the one good thing. You know what? To get into the building right now, and by the way, the nicest arena in the NBA, brand new, every amenity you could want, it's $30. To get into the Chase Center right now.
Now, see, that's more like it.
And then it's against a good team.
Yeah.
Like the Blazers are good.
They're 3-3.
Well.
Although they're banged up. I mean, that game against Philly, holy crap. First of all, who's the guy who hit the last three for Philly? Who's that guy?
What was his name?
It was like Furkan.
Yeah.
You ever heard of that guy?
It was the Colorado Rockies, as far as I'm concerned. I was like, who?
Yeah. So that was a tough luck loss.
Yeah.
Because
what is the Colorado Rockies?
They played well enough to win that game. Although once Philly turned it on like mid third quarter, oh boy.
Yeah.
The Blazers just really didn't have much of an answer. They were holding on, but then Simons makes the big three and you think they're going to pull one out.
Simons has been playing well. They did say that I read this quick at it. He said the Blazers aren't going to make a move. He said that there just isn't a lot out there, and so this is...
They're going to wait for Gasol to get healthy.
Yeah, and so...
Hassan's back in there, so that's... If he can stay in there...
So, look, you just cross your fingers that you don't have any other injuries, because if Whiteside goes down...
Well, they just...
I don't know what you do.
Against Philly, without Whiteside and Collins, and then, of course, I guess even Gasol, I mean, they're normally a good rebounding team. They just couldn't... couldn't rebound. They just... It's like, man, they were playing with one hand tied behind their back. They still almost beat them, but...
Well, they didn't have Embiid, though, either on the other side.
Exactly, but still, it just was like, man, that was frustrating. So they need their bigs to get healthy.
Yeah.
Nurkic, well, and you can't, Whiteside, Collins.
And you can't have anyone else get injured. See, that's the crappy...
Well, they don't have anyone else.
Well, this is my point. It's just because, like, you have all these rash of injuries doesn't mean that someone else can't go down. God, what happens if something happens to Lillard and miss a significant amount of time? I mean... In a loaded West, it's you can't be giving away a bunch of games early on.
Perhaps you regret letting Myers Leonard go because he is starting for the Miami Heat,
the dominant Miami Heat.
They are 5-1.
Who's this? Is it Nunn, the guard they have that's lighting the world on fire? Who the hell is that?
They also drafted Tyler Hero.
Yeah, they're killing fools.
He's playing well.
Leonard's averaging 9.6 boards in the starting lineup down in Miami. He's flourishing.
Jimmy Butler's giving everyone a big FU because he's obviously, it's early in the year, but he's telling everyone to go pound sand because everyone made fun of him for going to Miami. And why would you leave a team like Philadelphia to go to a crappy team in Miami? A
couple of other sports things here, hence the title of the segment. Real quick golf note, Jordan Spieth was 4 months old the last time Phil Mickelson was not in the top 50 in the world rankings.
And I'm guessing Phil is no longer in the top 50?
This week, he has fallen out of the top 50 for the first time since 1993.
Yikes.
Dude, that's incredible.
It's a great run.
That is incredible. No injuries, took no breaks. Since 93, he's been in the top 50 in the world.
That's funny because I always think that he's got that arthritis condition, and I just kind of assumed that he would have taken some time to, you know, just kind of hang back.
Rory McIlroy said it's more impressive than Tiger's streak of straight cuts made, which is like 7 years he didn't miss a cut. It's like 140 straight tournaments. And the Nationals were at the White House today.
That got weird.
Boy, it sure did.
Suzuki got...
well, he got fondled.
Yeah, I mean, you're not lying. Kurt Suzuki, home run hero, he stood up there and he put on a Make America Great hat, which, whatever, man.
MAGA.
Yeah, MAGA hat.
No, remember, they're the DC's team.
I know, and everyone's like, I know a lot of people are killing him, but look, we all don't have to have the same political opinions. Whatever, like, he was supporting Trump. He's supporting the president. But he put on the hat, but then Trump felt him up.
Yeah, so he puts on the hat, and then he puts his arms out like, hey, look at me. Yeah. And then Trump comes up from behind him.
And honks him.
And feels him up right on the boobies.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I don't know if
you had that happening in your sports pool today, you win a lot of money.
Who had a guy named Suzuki getting felt up by the president liking it?
What we've learned here is if you show that you like Trump, he'll give you a reach around fondle.
Yes.
I mean, he'll grab you by the pee.
From behind. It was, I guess when you are a celebrity, you can do whatever you want. You can grab him by the up tops.
So,
and then Zimmerman was all, you know, he was loving the whole thing. Said,
yeah, he's a Trumpy.
Yeah, thanked him for keeping the country safe and the whole
thing. So Trump's now going hard at sports. He was at the World Series.
Yeah.
And then he was at a UFC match over the weekend.
Now he got...
For some reason.
He got... Dana White invited him. I guess I was reading a thing. Dana White said early on, Trump was one of the few people that gave the UFC a chance. Remember, the UFC was called barbaric and like human cockfighting and no one wanted it. Trump embraced it. And so White invited him. And so Trump was booed like you wouldn't believe at the baseball game. At the UFC fight, he was booed, but also cheered. And now he's going to a place where I believe he's just eventually going to find a place where he's only cheered.
Yes.
Because he's going to the LSU-Alabama game.
Tuscaloosa.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think he's
it feels like he is going to just keep going until he finds somebody that will cheer him. And so what better place than go down to Hicksville?
I would assume that the people of Alabama, Roy Moore country, right? I would assume they cheer him and don't boo him, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, interesting day. I want to mention, too, a sports note before we move back to college football. Willie Taggart fired at Florida State. We'll get to that next. But here's a fun sports nugget for the week.
Nugget away.
This is the first time. This will happen this week. Mm-hmm. For the first time ever, and it will be that the AP, Associated Press, number one and number two teams will meet in both college football and college basketball in the same week. That has never happened.
So is Michigan State's number one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so who's two?
Tomorrow you're going to get Michigan State, Kentucky, which is 1-2. And then on Saturday in basketball,
you also get Duke, Kansas, which is 3-4.
And then on Saturday in college football, you get number one LSU at number two Alabama. Huh. And that has never happened.
It's a fun little.
How about that?
That is a fun little nugget.
There's a fun sports fact for you.
How about college basketball sneaking up on us and starting tomorrow?
Yeah, whatever.
College hoops, baby. It's here. As a matter of fact, we have a short show tomorrow due to the Ducks playing somebody.
When will you start paying attention to college basketball?
Tomorrow night, bitch. Jayhawks are playing Duke. Are you kidding me?
Duke.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
I'm still not convinced.
You don't think I'm watching Kansas Duke?
We'll see.
Oh, my God. What? You're an idiot.
What? We'll see.
All right. It'll be on while we're here. I think it starts at 4. But we're off at 5:30 due to the Ducks.
Playing who?
I think the Ducks are playing Fresno State.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In your face.
Yeah, look at you paying slight attention.
Nice point.
Well, you did say, you know, Oregon against somebody.
Fresno State. Okay. Willie Taggart fired. Next. Here's Mike.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Willie Taggart was fired yesterday by Florida State. He went 4-5 this season.
And if you've watched any of their games, I mean, it wasn't like they were losing to great teams or that they were uber competitive. They were sloppy. They were penalty ridden. I mean, it was an absolute disaster.
He was 5-7 a year ago. So he only that guy only made it a season and a half.
Yep.
21 games and he is out. Is that even fair? Seriously. I mean, look, I know he didn't do a very good job and they panicked and maybe it's like the AD came out and said, look, there was no advantage to waiting, because then it could just get even worse and then you're really behind the eight ball.
There were some parents of some of the top recruits that he signed last year.
Yeah, I get that.
That were coming out against him.
I get it. Is it like, seriously though, a guy gets a year and a half and that's it?
Well, I understand where you're coming from, but I would say this. Let's take a guy like Jonathan Smith and the time he's out at Oregon State. I don't think you have to win. I think there's a difference between winning 10 games and seeing the trajectory of the program. I also think it's different when you're taking over a program, Washington State, with Leach inherited, or at Oregon State, or when you're taking over a program like Baylor, right? That it obviously had fallen on hard times, self-inflicted, and taking over a Florida State team that outside of Clemson, you're more talented than. So if you are more talented physically than every team you're playing outside of Clemson and you're getting beat by people that you out-recruit by 30, 40 rankings, and you're, I think, the number one team in the ACC in penalties, you keep shooting yourself in the foot, you're not disciplined, then is it fair? Yeah, I think it's fair to say that in no way is he giving you any confidence. I don't think he had to win games, but I think he had to show some sort of progress that he was getting this thing turned in the right direction, and he wasn't.
Well, he had a losing record at three of his four stops. His only winning record was at Oregon. It was just 1 year, and they were 7-5. But he's also cashed in $30 million in buyouts overall. I mean, Florida State raised over $20 million to buy him and his entire staff out. So he gets like $17 million of that, which is just insane.
He gets $17 million to go away based on 1 year at Oregon when they went 7-5.
Yeah, remember they...
And by the way, he's probably done getting head coaching jobs.
They're also... Oh, I would think. Unless it's, like...
Smaller school.
Florida State paid Oregon $3 million in order to get him. Florida State paid South Florida $1.5 million that Oregon owed South Florida to get him.
And by the way, he delivered Cristobal to you, right? He came with Taggart's staff. So thanks a lot, Willie. Thanks a lot, Florida State. I mean, the best thing that happened to Oregon was Willie Taggart getting taken off your hands by Florida State.
No question. And I would kill to get Rob Mullen's lowdown on how Taggart hoodwinks people in interviews.
Yeah.
Because it's not his resume.
Nope.
He hasn't won.
Nope.
So it's like,
and it's interesting,
there's something about him when he sits down in a room, and he's not that dynamic, too. I remember when he first met with the media here, it was like, that's Willie Taggart?
Exactly. In person and on the phone, there's nothing about him that jumps off the page at you. But you hear it all the time that with recruits and with ADs, dude, the guy works his magic. I have no idea.
Well, he's a good salesman because he could certainly recruit.
And someone says, has any coach ever failed upward more than Willie Taggart?
No.
I'm sure. Well, Lane Kiffin did. Lane Kiffin fell upward a lot, but
yeah.
I mean, the Florida State job, that's one of the best jobs in the country.
Now, I will say,
what an exciting time.
What was I watching? Was there a documentary on Lane Kiffin at some point where they felt like if he didn't get railroaded at Tennessee, he was going to get that thing going?
But he did. Left Tennessee. He didn't
right. I was trying to remember the circumstances, but I don't even think
he was only there a year and he left for the USC job.
Right. But if he had stayed at Tennessee, he wouldn't be Willie Taggart. I mean, they were thinking they had something special down there. He just left him high and dry.
Yeah.
And he did not. I mean, he was better than Willie Taggart at USC, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they had the 1 year.
They went 10-2 one year.
So this is him in Oakland. So his first head coaching job, he was one of the co-OCs with Sark at USC when they were rolling under Pete Carroll. So you tell me which one fell up more. So he's never been head coach before. The Raiders hire him. He goes 4-12, 1-3, gets fired. Tennessee hires him. He goes 7-6 and gets hired by USC. He then went 8-5, 10-2, 7-6, 3-2, fired on the tarmac. Then he goes to Florida Atlantic, 11-3, 5-7, 6-3.
Yeah, he has done better than Willie Taggart. As a matter of fact, if I had the two to choose from, I would choose Lane Kiffin over Willie Taggart to coach my team.
Me too.
So, no, I don't think there is a coach that has fallen up more than Willie Taggart. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
So who will Florida State hire is the question. And, of course, a lot of people are comparing the Florida State job to the USC job. And, of course, Urban Meyer's name pops up. The Yahoo Sports article thinks Mario Cristobal does covet the gig. Now, some people think that because Cristobal's a Miami guy, there's no way he'd ever coach at Florida State. He's a Florida guy. But Thamel, in his article, when he mentions, so he mentions James Franklin of Penn State, number one.
Yeah.
Mario Cristobal of Oregon, number two, and Matt Rhule of Baylor, number three. And under his little blurb about Cristobal, he says it is thought that Cristobal covets that gig.
Hmm.
So I don't know, but I agree with you. Cristobal's got everything he needs right now. He's got that thing cooking in Eugene, and I just don't see him leaving.
I mean, you never know, right? Taggart said that's his dream job, and certainly Florida State traditionally has been a much better program than Oregon. But after seeing all the bells and whistles and the ease in which you have getting things done at Oregon, supposedly at Florida State, you know, this was the whole Jimbo Fisher thing. You know, it can be kind of a pain to get stuff done down there. And people think facility wise that maybe they're lagging behind a little bit. So I just don't think it's a slam dunk. Florida State is an amazing job. Don't get me wrong, but I don't necessarily think it's a slam dunk that someone automatically leaves Oregon for Florida State.
I
think that Cristobal can use this to scare up a huge raise, because Cristobal only makes like 2.3. This wouldn't shock me if Cristobal's like, yeah, I'm interested in the Florida State job unless you want to pay me $5 million.
Yeah, that Florida State job, I think the one thing about it is you're in the ACC.
Yeah.
And you've won a national title within the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not...
It's a great job.
And it's not like the cupboard's bare. It's a top 15 job. Top 10, top 15 job.
Yes.
USC, also top 10, top 15 job.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say. And of course, Clay Helton hasn't been fired yet, but we all think that's coming.
Oh, he's done.
It's just, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know if... I think Urban Meyer sitting there with... Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart every week. I think that matters. I think that Urban Meyer, in other words, those guys will I think have influence on him to get him to USC. And then he's got connections to Mike Bone, the new USC AD. And I know some are trying to say, well, it's not a foregone conclusion that USC will even go after Urban Meyer. Oh, come on. Why would they not? Why would they not? Now, I'm not saying they can get him. I'm just saying, why would they not go after him? He is the number one guy they should go after.
If you are any school in the country and you have an opening and you don't call Urban Meyer first, you're a dumbass.
Yeah, I mean, you got to at least call. But USC and Florida State, you would think, USC more than Florida State, have a legitimate shot. Like, you're crazy if he is not a number one on your list.
Well, there'll be others, too. You mentioned Matt Rhule and what he's done at Baylor. Who is Matt Campbell at Iowa State is a big name that I know everyone's always hot and bothered.
Well, there's a ton of names like Stoops' brother. Well, Bob Stoops is out there.
Yeah.
But the thought on him is that he doesn't love the recruiting element. Gus Malzahn is a guy that somebody brought up. Dan Wolken, I think USA Today, brought up Malzahn, said he'd be a great fit there.
Well,
I don't know why he'd leave Auburn for there.
And let me ask you the question. I mean, we all made fun of him and it wasn't pretty, but he's got it. If he finishes this thing off, and we'll see, because like he hasn't really played anyone yet, but Turdville.
Oh, Fleck. Yeah, I think that he's certainly on the list because of what he's done at Minnesota, but at the same time, I think that's a terrible hire.
If you surround yourself with turds, you're headed towards Turdville.
I mean, and it's not because P.J. Fleck's not good. I just think Florida State can do better than that. And then Mark Stoops is at Kentucky. His name popping up. He's done a pretty good job at Kentucky.
Yeah.
I just saw a tweet from Bruce Feldman that said that he's shocked because he's hearing from a lot of coaches he thought would be interested that are saying, no way.
To Florida State?
To Florida State. And I was reading an article today that basically was describing just how much of a shambles that program is in terms of who has control. Yeah. The AD is a guy who he was like their last option. And the boosters are going to be involved in the hiring process as well as a search firm.
And that's what I was saying.
So there's a lot of bad things going on there. And I don't think a lot of the big names are going to want to step into that mess.
That's what I was saying. I don't think it's this idea anymore that Florida State is just infinitely better than Oregon. I think in Oregon, you get everything you need. You get left alone. There's one guy that you have to appease, and that's Phil. And right now, you've got it rolling. You're winning. And all those tools are at your disposal. And you want to go to a place like Florida State where the expectations are sky freaking high, and you've got 1,000 cooks in the kitchen. And that's what they said when why one of the reasons Jimbo left. And that it is not all hunky-dory down in Tallahassee. And I just think that's a good job, but it, at one point, that was a top three job in America, and it's not anymore.
All right, up next, Lamar Jackson. Last night, we'll talk about that Patriots-Ravens game. 546 on the Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
You know, one name we didn't mention for the Florida State gig was Mike Leach.
Oh, yeah. Although Tennessee, you know, supposedly didn't want him.
That's 50% stupid.
Like, I would love to see Mike Leach with the talent level down there at Florida State.
Did Tennessee not, like, what happened with the Tennessee thing? I don't even remember. They had the AD that
hired him, and that Leach supposedly, from what I remember, was, like, on the airplane, was going down there, and then there was, like, a coup where they said no, the boosters, Fulmer. And then they got Philip Fulmer, and then they got the AD fired because of that, and then they went out and got Jeremy Pruitt.
So it was more like, it wasn't that Tennessee didn't want him, it was that Philip Fulmer wanted to hire his own guy?
Philip Fulmer wanted to hire his own guy, and that I guess that people had just been upset at the way the search was going, and there was enough powers that be cooks in the kitchen that weren't settling for Mike Leach. Tennessee thought they were better than that, and they wanted
They hired Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah, who was a coordinator at Alabama, and he
they're not any good, are they?
No, he's been terrible.
Man, Mike Leach.
Pruitt's been awful there.
I know he's a weirdo, but holy crap, that'd be a good hire for Florida State.
I would just like to see what Mike Leach could do with better talent. He has won pretty significantly at Texas Tech and at Washington State. And neither one of those are great recruiters. Now he's been an OC, like with Oklahoma, and better talent. I would like to see what he could do. I just don't know if he'll ever get a chance. I don't know if a school like Florida State would ever roll the dice on Mike Leach. I think you'd have to go way down the list. I think you're going to have to go through the Rules and the Campbells and the Franklins and all that. And then if you couldn't find anyone.
And that's just because Leach is so.
He's just different.
Out there.
He's different. He's out there. He's not known to be friendly with the boosters. And if everything I've read about Florida State is correct, the boosters will have a big say in this. And the boosters do not want a bristly, odd guy like Mike Leach. They want someone that's willing to play the game a little bit, you know?
Let them run the show is basically what you're saying?
And kiss their ass a little bit. And the last time I checked, Mike Leach is not very good at kissing ass.
Well, it does sound like they ran old Jimbo out of town.
Yeah.
I mean, he won a championship there, and he
got tired of dealing with
him. Kind of gave him the double middle finger, it sounds like.
And I remember reading an article basically saying that Jimbo would like say, okay, I want XYZ.
Best football, man.
And the administration and his AD would be like, look, we can't get this done without the boosters. And Jimbo wouldn't play ball and kiss the boosters' ass. And they're like, in order to get this funded, we need this money. And it was like this vicious circle. Well, Jimbo didn't want to deal with the boosters, but if he didn't deal with them, then he couldn't get the money to get the projects that he wanted. Including, you know, paying more for assistant coaches and whatnot. So it sounds like that is a dance that you're going to have to do down at Florida State. It's like everyone said that you couldn't buy out Willie Taggart, right? They're like, dude, no one's paying $17 million. What, in 6 weeks, they got the boosters that came up with not just the $17 to buy out Willie, but three more to buy out his coaches. So the booster culture is down there. It's just that can you motivate him enough? And you better believe after ponying up $20 million of booster money, you're damn right they're going to want to say and who the next guy is.
All right, well, did you enjoy Baltimore making the Patriots coach Bill Belichick and their quarterback Tom Brady pull out their pouty faces? You know, we haven't seen those in a while.
No.
The Patriots pouty faces.
The offense didn't necessarily surprise me for the Patriots. Their offensive line is bad, and it's they've got to find a way to get that better. We knew their offense is a bit sketchy. The defense, I guess it didn't surprise me. I was intrigued to see what was going to happen because up until this point, statistically, this was the best defense through whatever it is, 8 weeks we'd ever seen in the NFL. But it also, I looked at Pro Football Focus said that it was one of the worst groups of offenses that any team had ever played through 8 weeks.
Well, yeah, the combined record was like 14-40 or something.
It was atrocious. And so you wanted to see what Baltimore's offense, which is a unique offense because there's nothing like it in football with the way they run it. And they had New England looking confused and bewildered. And when you can run the ball that way, boy, you really don't have to do a whole lot else. I mean, he was efficient. Lamar Jackson was throwing the football, but it was a lot of just underneath stuff. He only threw for like 160 yards, but he didn't have to because they just rammed it down their throat.
Well, he's kind of entered the MVP race here.
He should.
And he is really hard to stop. I just was watching him going, man, that is a prime example of a guy who was picked. He was picked 32nd in the first round. And he's a great example of a right fit, right coach type of guy, yep. You know, where Harbaugh.
It's embracing it.
And those guys. Yes, because who would have thought Harbaugh would have an offense that looked like this. Like if I told you this 3 years ago that John Harbaugh is just going to pivot to a guy like Lamar Jackson, it doesn't really make sense. But they drafted him, they've embraced him, they've tailored everything to him, and it's working, man. I mean, going to a crappy franchise like Joey Harrington did, or like you know, Winston or whomever, you know, you go to the bad franchises that are perennially in the top five, it sucks, and it can if you're not a superstar transcendent talent type quarterback, you're going to get eaten up in those places. So when you fall to 32 or when you fall to whatever Aaron Rodgers fell to,
can be a better fit.
You get to a better coach and a better fit. It just can do wonders. And that's what's happening with Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
That is a great fit. And I wouldn't have thought it would be.
No, not necessarily. He belongs in the MVP discussion now. You know, people, again, he's changing the NFL and you got to find the next Lamar Jackson. I say this about every quarterback that has early success. Just give it time. We haven't seen something quite like this really in a long time. But if he can stay healthy running the ball as much as he does, which, you know, we'll see. Time will tell. And if he continues to grow and develop as a pocket quarterback, but they're doing a great job of not making him a true pocket quarterback. They move him around a little bit. They don't ask him to go into 5 and 7 step drops and make multi like full read coverages. They're doing a great job of tailoring it to him. And right now, I don't think he's necessarily murdering the NFL. We've seen a couple games this year where he has struggled a little bit when he has to stand in the pocket and throw, but his development, if it continues and he can add that element where he becomes an above average third and medium, third and long quarterback to add with the athletic skill set, he's got a chance to be really, really special.
All this talk of Juan Soto, you know, the Nationals kid?
Yeah.
Who was a breakout player.
21 years old or whatever.
21 years old. Lamar Jackson's 22.
Yeah.
He is 22 years old.
When you watched him last night, it reminded me of when Michael Vick got into the league and he just was a better athlete than most of the players out there. And people are trying to say, well, this is what they should have done with Mariota. Stop it. Mariota was never near the athlete that Lamar Jackson was. You know, Mariota, I think, was a better passer than Lamar Jackson, but his athleticism is freakish. It is just one of those guys that came along. You even saw this when he was at Louisville. He just was a different specimen out there, and they have found a way to find a passing game that complements his ability to run. And he's still a run first quarterback, but the throwing ability is getting better. And if he can get that to where it's just a little more on par, there's no stopping him. And even if this is what it is, remember that in the short term, Colin Kaepernick almost won a Super Bowl playing this way. He came ever so close to doing it. And Lamar Jackson right now is a better version of what a young Colin Kaepernick was.
Yeah. It looks like Jackson has a cannon, but he's just inconsistent.
Well,
not as accurate as
the mechanics can be a little funky. He's got all those different arm angles that he throws, but it makes it work. And they don't ask him
no.
to, to, to play the role. They're not asking him to be Tom Brady. They're asking him to be Lamar Jackson.
That's right. That's why it's a smart coaching staff and a great fit. Yeah. That's why it's nice to, even though you want to be drafted 1, 2, 3, 4, it's nice to fall to a really good franchise and a competent coaching staff.
And I think this is actually a pretty good this is a pretty good statement here. It says Lamar Jackson has two roads. I don't necessarily agree that it's only two. There's a middle of the road, a third path. But they say, this guy says, either Russell Wilson, you develop into a pocket passing quarterback with the ability to move around, or RG3, where that's all he did and end up getting, you know, injury riddled and learned bad habits. I think there's a middle ground there. But yes, if he can develop slowly just over the next 2 or 3 years and add that Russell Wilson type touch and feel for playing the quarterback position, the sky's the limit. Everyone keeps we've all been waiting, or at least the NFL has been waiting for the guy to really change the position. And I always kind of laugh at that. I'm like, well, you know, revolutionize the position. I don't necessarily think that's the case, but this may be the closest thing that we've seen to the potential to do that.
Would you like a sports reminder?
Yeah. What do you got?
Here is your sports reminder that Cleveland, the Browns, you know how bad they are?
Yes.
That team went into Baltimore and won handily.
Yeah.
I would like to.
Yeah, kick their ass.
Sports remind you of that.
And Kansas City was the other one that got him, right?
Kansas City beat him.
I think Kansas City got him. And you've seen some games where he has struggled a little bit. Again, the MO is still going to be the same when you play Baltimore. Make him one-dimensional. Don't rush the quarterback. Keep him in the pocket and make him beat you from there.
Tough to do.
But that is tough to do because they're not just going to be like, fine, this is what you want to do. We're going to play into your game. They find ways to get him loose. And, dude, he had New England looking befuddled.
All right. More on the NFL and the week that was in the NFL tomorrow. But the club coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.